paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out the bad seat, a broken head, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad taste, bad luck, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. The FOTB Retro Pod is what's up. That's what the fans are talking about. They're digging it. I hope you are too. So this next Retro Pod is from 98. And this puppy, I talked to my old pal Jim Leland, former manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. At the time, he was the manager of the Marlins, and they had just won the World Series the year before with their expensive team, and then they broke it all up and stripped it down and sold the parts off to other teams. So essentially, they bought their world championship. Also on this episode, I talked to my old friend, who I haven't talked to in ages, Tom Spencer, about the Masters at Augusta. And then I even remember on this podcast the day that Yankee Stadium started falling apart. There were beams cascading down from the upper deck. I mean, that place was just an old barn, wasn't it? Out on the Boogie Down on 161st in the Bronx, son. This is no joke. Check out this August 98 FOTB Retro Pod.
Oh, good evening. Hello, is your mother there, please? Hello?
That'll help.
Yeah, whatever. I didn't even fumble. Replacements. Substitution patterns. That just is... I've been sitting here for a half hour, bored out of my skull. And then when he starts it up, I'm sitting in here, I can't hear a thing. And I look over and I got my headsets unplugged, and I got like my mic off, and I got everything.
Well, the engineer's laughing.
Well, you'll have that. I don't even care. What are you gonna say something about it? You gonna narc on me? Go ahead. It doesn't matter who you are. If you narc on me, it's not gonna affect anything, because I'm always making excuses.
I wish I were dead.
I just don't even want to contemplate what would happen if I, you know, hit Brett over the head with my hockey stick mic. It would split his head open.
If I could reach you, I would hurt you.
I believe that, too. Hey, we got a bunch of baseball games, 12 of them tonight. Some of them have already been played today. The Giants won 8-2. Who'd they beat? The Cardinals? Yeah, 8-2 Giants. They keep pace. And San Diego won. They beat Arizona, and it was 6-1 Diego Maradona. Archie Chianfranco marijuana with a solo shot. His first. And then Bonds was 2-for-3 with a homer in the Giants win. His first homer of the year. He had two RBIs. As of last week, he had like one RBI for the year. When's the last time that guy started slow? I know why Derek Jeter has started slow. He's doing Mariah Carey. That'll cost you. If you're hanging out with her all night, I guarantee you, you got trouble and you got a problem getting out of bed. The Indians scored 6 runs in the 6th inning. They beat Seattle 6-5. The Mariners' bullpen is a joke. Their ERA is like 9. They got an 8.75 ERA. They've blown 4 games. 4 blown saves already. They're in the third week. And 2 of them in Boston, the Friday afternoon game, was Mo Vaughn's grand slam. I mean, it's just unbelievable. In the Seattle loss, Griffey hit 2 home runs, but it doesn't matter when you don't have a bullpen. They have more homers than anybody so far in the regular season. The Mariners, they've driven in a ton of runs. But in the games that they've lost, like the opening games that they've given up, last week they gave up 90 runs. 90. 90 runs they gave up. I don't know how many of them were earned, but I'll tell you, they deserve to make less earnings as a team. Pay cuts, I think, for... wouldn't it be great if they paid players based on performance only and there was a... If you lost, you got docked. And if you went over 4, it cost you a grand or 2. You know, every time they didn't produce, it cost them like 5 grand. Or a million. How about a million every time you go over 4? I bet that would be some incentive to get a hit. I'm bored with all the money. I really am. You can't phase me anymore with a deal. New contracts? What do I care about Piazza wanting to be the first $100 million man? They did a poll on ESPN, and like 5,000 people, and they voted for Griffey, like 90% of them, that he's the guy that should get the money.
Boring.
Not Piazza, because Piazza is he's a risky commodity, they're saying. If the guy blows out his knees, he's already got bone on bone in one of them, right? So what if the guy can't play? What are you going to do? Are you going to pay a dude $100 million to play first base? I mean, come on. I think that, you know, you might as well let him go. I'm starting to lean that direction. I don't think that, first of all, I don't think that they're playing that well. I don't think they're exciting yet. I mean, when is this going to happen? Is it going to be like next month? Is that what? Am I supposed to look forward to a big month from them? They never play well in April. And it costs you. If you have to fight in May and June to get even with what you did in April, you're dead. And if San Diego keeps winning, it'll be over. I mean, these things are simple. Did you know that in the... It's crazy, but 70% of the teams that have won the National League, like East, in the last 12, 15 years, have led the division at the end of April. They went on to win it, even if they didn't have the lead in July. They somehow got it again and won the division. That's not the West. So I'm talking about just an example of how important it is to really play well in April. They don't play well in April, screw them. Yeah, Mondesi hit a home run last night after they gave up the shot in the top half of the inning to Moises Alou. He's been incredible. You know, he plays just in Montreal, in Florida, and now in Houston. This guy is a great baseball player. That's all there is to it. At this point, I don't want to play for the Marlins or the Expos because of the way they've looked. And, I mean, Florida 1-11? My God. You know, they said the Central would be the worst division in baseball, but it's not. You know, even the Reds are 500. Believe it or not. Larkin had a good week last week. He hit a home run. He's back in the lineup. We'll give you all the games tonight, all the other games that are going on. Hey, I just saw Ottawa score a goal. Did they won that game? Chris Phillips scored, gave them, a 3-2 lead? They were tied at Tampa. They go up 3-2. They win tonight. They get 2 points. And if Hurricanes lose to the Bruins, they're done. 3 minutes left in the Tampa-Ottawa game, and they'd go up by 5. And if they go up 5, it's over. They can't even catch them unless they win, and tie. And that means Ottawa's going to, you know, lose all 3 games. So forget about it. And the Blackhawks... They lost to Phoenix yesterday, and I think that Roenick goal killed them. I think it broke their backs. They've lost 4 straight, right? And I don't think they can win again. I almost feel like last night when that Roenick goal went in, it was over for them. Broke their backs. Much like the Rangers in that game with the Flyers. Gretzky tied it. Like, this is about 3 weeks ago. He ties it with a goal with a minute left. They go to overtime. They lose. Right away, they lose, and that was it. They never played the same again. We'll talk about all that stuff tonight. Baseball, hockey. Lee Stevens just hit a... I think he just hit a home run. His second of the game. Fourth of the year. Pittsburgh, Florida. The Marlins finally win. Larkin got the win and Esteban Loaiza the loser. And in the Atlanta-Philly game, Spradlin the winner and Lichtenberg the loser. If you can tell me which teams they're on, I'll give you $5. Vitalico got the save, so you know Philly won. I'll give you all the details of everything later. Capitals 2-0 over the Islanders. The Islanders were eliminated over the weekend, not because they lost, but because of a tie and somebody else winning. It doesn't matter, does it, essentially? Mike Milbury will be back. Yanks and Angels got postponed. So did the Mets and Brewers. Why did the Yankees get postponed?
Some giant metal bar just fell on someone, but that it didn't quite hit them, but it didn't hit anyone, but it fell and it postponed it. Now the Yankees are going to be playing next Wednesday at Shea Stadium in the morning, and then the Mets are going to be playing in the afternoon.
Wow. Where did this pole fall from?
I think it was the outfield. I'm not sure.
Was it a fan whipping something, or was it like a... You mean a pole in the stadium fell? Like a pillar? I've never heard of such a thing. It got canceled because of a pole falling. Yankees canceled because of a pole. They did what with a pole? Anyway, listen to this music. It's violent. I mean, it's just incredible. I can't even imagine that a beam falls at Yankee Stadium. It's crazy. I mean... I would have never thought that that would have gone down. Do you remember a few years ago when they were having, like, batting practice and the down in Atlanta and then the like, suites, one of them luxury boxes caught on fire and it was just, remember that all the players are down on the field looking up and the thing was just gushing flames? I can't imagine being at Yankee Stadium tonight with a full house or something and the thing, this beam collapsed. I mean, it's just amazing. Yeah, and then I remember the Warriors played the Spurs one night, and Greg Papa was great. A flood happened at, I mean, it was just, remember the floor of the Alamo Dome? It just started filling with water.
That was a season opener, I think, and I think the first game ever played at the Alamo Dome.
Really?
I think so.
I don't think it was the first game. I think you're right about it was like the season opener. But they had played in there for a couple years. They've been complaining that they went out of there. They want a new stadium, too. Everybody wants a new arena. I mean, even in Miami, they want a new stadium. The Marlins, right? It's just crazy. Can I give them some idea of... I can't get enough of Pharrell on the radio. Here's what I got going. The Dodgers are up on the Astros 3-1 in the ninth. They started that game early today. If I would have known that, I would have been listening to the game on the way to the gig tonight because there's nothing worse than radio in Los Angeles. And I love listening to Vin Scully. I'm not particularly fond of Ross Porter. Not that I don't like him or know him or anything like that. It's just that I find him extremely dull. How's that sound? It's just torture. Here's what we're going to do. I'm so upset about this beam falling at Yankee Stadium, I may have to go home for the day. I'm gonna negotiate with Brett if I should stay. It all depends on you, the fans. You got to call up to, I guess, keep me here. I'm distraught over the Yankee Stadium beam falling. There's injuries.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Perot with you in L.A. The Dodgers are trying to finish off this game with Houston this afternoon. They played early. But at least, you know, I look down the scores, and Florida beats the Pirates 7-2. And John Cangelosi went 2-for-3. And the Marlins, oh, my God, they needed this one bad. It's been just a nightmare for Jim Leland. You know, obviously... a brutal situation for Leland in Miami. I mean, it's just crazy what's happened. And I just think he's got a lot of guts for going through it. And they win today. Jim, you guys, I'll tell you, that had to have been like a gorilla, not a monkey on your back. You get a ball game under your belts today. It had to have been just like getting rid of bad gas.
Well, you know, we got what we've been needing all year. We got a good pitching performance tonight, and of course we got the grand slam. But the key to the game tonight was Andy Larkin. He pitched a great ball game. He had a good live sinker. He got some ground balls, and you know, when you get good starting pitching, you got a chance to win.
It's great to have you on the gig, Jim. And I'm a Pittsburgh kid, and I know that you've been through a tremendous amount of stress. It's got to be painful for you to take such a fabulous gig and then to be stripped apart after you win a title and you're on top of the world. Have you gotten over any of this?
Well, you know, that's very difficult, but you have to turn the page. And, you know, last year is a great memory, and that's where it'll be when my career's over. You know, you put that in the memory bank. But we got a new job at hand, and, you know, nobody likes the situation, but that's the way it is, and you just got to turn the page and go on.
Did some kid today hit a grand slam for you, Lee, or something like this?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Did you guys have a grand slam today?
Yeah, Derek Lee hit a grand slam.
Yeah, Derek Lee cranked one out. And then tell me about Larkin, Jim. You've got a lot of young kids that maybe up too soon. I know you've said before that you're dealt the hand that you're given, and you gotta go with it. Tell me about some of these kids and Larkin.
Well, you know, he's basically a sinker ball, slider ball pitcher. He's got a decent changeup, and you know, he's a kid that we really sent out in spring training because he needs to get a little better command of his breaking ball and his fastball. But, you know, we got a lot of kids. We got like 9 or 10 on our pitching staff, and we got 14 overall, so it makes it a little difficult. But like I said, you got to play with the cards that you're dealt, and we'll find out how it goes.
Good being back in Pittsburgh again for you. When you get back there, does it make you flustered at all in wanting to I guess, do you ever think about wishing you never left?
Well, you know, we live back here in Pittsburgh now. And we moved back last year. And,
right.
You know, that's our permanent home. So,
it's great.
You know, obviously, we're very happy with Pittsburgh. And we're very happy about what the Pirates have done. Not recently, because they beat us 3 out of 4. But they're doing a great job, Kevin and Cam. And of course, my best friend, Gene Lamont. So, you know, we're in a little different situation right now. But, you know, you got to cope with that. You know, this is our off-season home, and it will be forever. So, you know, it's always nice to come back here.
I love Pittsburgh, too. And I know that my father still lives right by your family, and I know that you are a hardcore family guy. And, I mean, does it bum you out when you're not around your son and your wife? I mean, for that long, and you're living in I know before it was different when you were in Pittsburgh, they were right there. How tough is that for you? Do you go home after you're having a bad day and just absolutely lose your mind because you miss them so bad?
Well, you know, that's a problem, obviously, but they get to come down a lot, and they come down like on home stands, and then they come back and we go on the road. So, you know, it'll be a little difficult, but it's been nice for me this weekend, even though we got beat too many times, because, you know, I've been able to spend quite a few days. In fact, I'm going to spend the whole day here tomorrow. I'm not going to go with the team tonight. I'm going to spend the day in Pittsburgh tomorrow, my off day. And
yeah, you are.
Be able to be with my family, and we don't play again until Wednesday, so I'm going to fly back Wednesday morning.
Oh, that's sweet. I like that kind of news. I'll let you get out of here. Let me ask you, your buddy Terry Collins is out here with me, and he's come on a number of times, and he's got an exciting club. And then your old buddy Ray Miller. How do you think these guys are going to do in their gigs? I know that you have developed such friendships with La Russa and over the years, all of your guys. And I know that Tommy Sand, I think, still with you. You just, all of this Leland and La Russa offspring everywhere. I mean, you are still considered one of the great managers in the game. And I know you keep an eye on your close friends. Do you think that Ray Miller and Terry are going to do well, or do you wish that they get really bad, like rashes, and that they lose a bunch of games just as a joke? I'm kidding.
No, I think that they're going to do great. I think, you know, both of them know exactly what they're doing, and they both got good clubs. And, you know, Larry Rothschild's doing a good job with the expansion team, and Jerry Manuel's at Chicago. And I think all those guys are going to do well. You know, we all have a tendency to be good managers when we got good players. So any one of us that got good players will do okay. And if we don't, we're not going to do too well. But that's just part of it, and everybody accepts that. And, you know, those guys are all professionals. I'm very happy for them. And I know that, you know, Ray and Terry in particular, they're probably going to be in the hunt all year.
Hey, how about Josh Booty? You sent him down and Bonilla's off the DL. That's got to be great to get Bobby Bowe back in the lineup.
Well, that is. You know, that gives us at least another quality major league player that's got some credentials behind his name. You know, we're such a young team, and anytime you get a guy like that back in the lineup, that's beneficial to you. And of course, that'll help our ball club.
Jim, have a great time with your family and your day off. I know they're few and far between. Go snag some Papa J's or some Tambellini's and have a cold one. Relax. Don't let all that crazy stuff going on down there with Smiley taking over and everything. Hell, as far as I'm concerned, I hope you end up on top of the world again, and frankly, in my view, somewhere else. I think you got screwed. I'm always rooting for you. I think the book sucked about you. I think you're just the coolest dude, and I'm always keeping my eye out for you. Thanks for spending a couple of minutes with me.
Well, I appreciate those comments. Thank you very much.
All right, Jim Leland, be cool. Hey, watch out for the bad drivers in Pittsburgh, Jim. All right, hey, you got to love that. Yeah, I think Jim Leland's really cool, and really cool to come on and talk. I mean, I wouldn't have gone on with some dude on the radio with the amount of crap he's put up with. I mean, not only did they strip him of his ball club, completely nude. He's left nude standing in the middle of the street. But then they lose 11 straight games to start the season. Well, you know, they won their opener or whatever, and then they lose 11, and then they win today. I mean, I guess that win today put him in a decent mood. I mean, I think that he could care less about the win. I think he cared about the fact that he was going to be in Pittsburgh and he was going to be able to spend a day with his wife and kid. And I really believe that that's why he was cool enough to go on. And I also think that he should leave Florida. I think he should, well, first of all, I would have never stayed. If it were me, wouldn't you have walked on that dude if he would have done that to you? If Huizenga sells the entire club short, like he traded everybody, there's no one left but Bonilla. John Cangelosi's not like somebody. I'm talking about Bonilla and Livian Hernandez are it. They even lost Leiter to the Mets. But he's left with nothing. I would have quit. I would have walked. He could have had a better job in 5 minutes. And I just don't understand what... You know, why they, I don't care about money. You know, this guy Huizenga is not short on money, okay? Let's not pretend like he can't do it again. He could have kept every one of those players, but he was losing money on the team. So he didn't care. It was a business decision. But if I'm Leland, I would have left. And he didn't leave. He stayed because he's a champ, and he's like that way. He's not going to diss his players and walk out on them or his coaches. But I'll say this. At the end of this year, I guarantee you I'd leave. He's got a clause in his contract that says he can bolt if they change owners. Well, they are. Smiley's going to be the new owner, Don Smiley, and a group of money toters. But I think that if I'm Leland, I leave. I'll take the first gig I can get better because anything is better than the Marlins right now. How'd you like to manage them this year? I bet they don't win 75 games. I mean, they're going to be awful. They have nothing but inexperienced pitchers that aren't going to win. They have young kids that should be in double A pitching in the majors. Baseball does not need all this expansion. You think hockey's bad? Hockey will no more be successful at their expansion than they are right now at their flop league. I mean, let's face it. No one watches hockey. And if I'm wrong, and it's my favorite sport, so don't get me going, but no one watches. And I think part of it stems from the fact that they have games on Saturdays at noon in the West and 3 in the East. Name one person you know that sits home on Saturday watching a hockey game. No one. I'm the only guy in America watching. I watch every one of them. All the games. Okay, let's get him in. Uncle Skip.
Hey, Pharrell, what do you think about this? Only three teams from the original six being in the finals.
That's the thing I'm talking about. Here's another reason that the NHL is a flop. It's because none of the original six teams are good anymore. The Torontos, the Chicagos, the Rangers, they're all awful. And the biggest city teams stink. Like the teams like Montreal that is a famous, that, I mean, what are they? I don't care if they're in second or third. They stink. And all of the big city teams in the NHL are awful. I mean, the LA Kings are solid out here, but solid isn't good. I think that point's well taken. The fact is that there's just, I mean, teams like the, you know, Dallas Stars on top and New Jersey. Please spare me the thought of the Devils. They're not going to win the Stanley Cup. After what I saw them go through in this last week, losing games to the worst teams in hockey, how can they possibly? And you know why they lost? Because the teams that they played that beat them were just quicker. Anybody that's quick can beat them.
Hey, Pharrell, you're the guy that always talks about the NHL, and you do promote it. And I'm surprised the NHL hasn't given you a Golden Globe or something like that.
Well, I work for the league. I work for the NHL. I work with them every year. I do a lot of work for the league in terms of spots, promoting the sport, and commercials and la-di-da. And I do the All-Star Game every year, and I do my show from there. And I did MTV with all the hockey players. I interviewed Gretzky, all of them. And I just don't have patience when I'm watching a sport that I love. It's trash. I think that the players are bums. I think that the whistleblowing and the five-minute fights after every whistle is with high sticks. I think the concussions are a problem. I think guys are trying to hurt guys. I think there's no reason for the stars to all be not playing. Every star in the league is injured because of bums. I think the league is... you know, they try to fix the rules, and they fix the wrong rules because they're nervous. And their commissioner is literally an NBA guy in a suit. He is not a hockey guy. He is a PR-savvy BSer. That's what he is. He's not the guy probably never watched a hockey game in his life before he got that job. I'm still trying to figure out how he got the job. He's better than Ziegler, though. At least he goes to the games. Skip, happy birthday to your daughter. I gotta run.
Hey, thanks a lot, Pharrell.
Be cool.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the Daily Roto NHL DFS Lineup Optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using Daily Roto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Don't they, like, watch the news or anything, these players, late at night? I say you irritate some people. You know what I mean? Like, just go after, like, Collins or something. Tell him Pharrell was talking to Leland, and he wants to know why he would not go on in the middle of the night when he's sleeping, when Leland would go on when he wasn't sleeping. Anyway, Pharrell with you, I'm trying to cause trouble. I'm investigating irritating people. Like, I like bugging people. When I'm doing the gig, like call up players at home and harass them and stuff. I don't even, necessarily care one way or the other if I ever have anybody on. You know, I used to do this show for years without ever letting anyone on except myself to talk, because I love to hear myself talk. No, I never was in a position to believe that I had to have a bunch of guests on a show that's based on calls. It's based on fans going off. This is a, you know, pub. Come in, have a brew. Slam down some thoughts, slam down some brews, and you're out. I mean, there's nothing worse than when, you know, these players come on. You don't want to sit there and get in their face, and you don't want to ask them deep questions. But, you know, like you heard me with Leland, I'm not afraid to say, dude, it must suck having that gig working for those dudes that screwed you over. And I think sometimes they get a little shocked that I'm willing to ask them questions about. You know, I'm really more interested in the guy or the player, what they do and who they are than about their stupid streaks or hits or goals or anything. I mean, what's that one day to the next? If you play 162 games, what's a home run? I mean, you play so many that these players are bored with some of it. What they want is the money. Let's get, here's what I want to do. I got to get Trent and Joe, as promised, with the pony talk, and then I'll get Fuzzy, my buddy.
Hey, Scotty, send Leyland 2 cartons of camels.
Yeah, this guy, you know, I said to... You know, I've said to everybody on the air before, I think if the guy continues to lose with this team, which he will, it's going to irritate him. He's a volatile guy, and I know, you know, he's already a wreck in terms of how he, you know, chains them down and everything, smokes. And he's always edgy. Reminds me of Billy Martin.
Yeah, well, he's quite a guy. I mean, he's hanging in there with a whole championship team.
Can't believe it. So what about Lil's Lad?
Okay, well, Lil's Lad, as you mentioned, got hurt. He's out of the Derby. Was a shocking upset in the Bluegrass. He was the only speed of the race, yet Hallory Hunter found a gaping hole on the rail, came from behind and caught him and won the race. The big news, I feel, is the Arkansas Derby, where Favorable Trick chased 133-1 Battle Royale.
And lost.
Finally put him away, but didn't have enough left in the stretch and was upset by Victory Gallop, and Hanuman Highway closed on the inside to get second in a three-horse photo. Pat Day said after the race he was unable to rate favorite Trick, the first time he's ever done that. And also, Coronado's Quest looked good in the Wood Memorial, winning in 147-2. Wire to wire. However, the owner, Stuart Janney, says he will not go to Kentucky. But with the defection of Lil's Lad, he may go because they do have similar styles of running.
Hey, what's the story with Hallory Hunter? Do you think that Patino's horse, which Zito trains, can actually, you know, build off of this race and, you know, the Bluegrass, and then go and maybe somehow, you know, win place or show?
I think so, because Nick Zito has very good... history in the Derbies, won 3 of them, Go for Gin, Strike the Gold, and another one. But this horse has come on very nicely. He always moves forward in all of his races, and he will close late into the race, and there should be enough speed for him to do something.
Baffert and his 2 entries? Of course, Indian Charlie, he thinks that horse is going to win. I like Real Quiet. Favorite Trick was the favorite at the Derby at 4-1 with Lil's Lad. Now Lil's Lad's not going to race, and Favorite Trick just lost. We're talking to our pony guy, Trent and Joe. And, I mean, So, I mean, it affects the odds drastically. What's going to happen now?
Tremendously. I think the new darlings of the bunch are going to be Event of the Year and Indian Charlie. To get to your point about Indian Charlie and Baffert, I agree with you about Real Quiet looking a little better and his style is a little better for a mile and a quarter.
Plus, the Indian Charlie won the Santa Anita, and the horse that wins the Anita never wins the Derby.
That is true. But, however, Scott, one thing I want to point out about Indian Charlie, he's only had four career races, but more than that, in all of those four races, he has never encountered a field that had more than seven horses. Now, he's going to go into the Derby. There could be 16 or 18 horses in this race. Now, what if he can't get to where he wants to go? He's never experienced running in a race with so many horses surrounding him. It's a big problem. You'll be surprised how these horses are affected by all of this activity.
So Hanneman Highway won that Arkansas or whatever.
And second.
Second, but that's not bad. I mean, for 35-1 odds that are Derby odds before that race, now that's got to change for that horse.
Tremendous. He's an Irish bred colt. Word out of California, he was good. He looked good in a couple of his races out there. He tried favorite trick. He beat him. He came in second. He only lost by a head. His odds are going to go plummeting.
What about a couple horses that I really like in terms of moving up, Artax and Comic Strip?
Well, Artax, I think his odds will stay about 8-1 since he ran third against Indian Charlie in Real Quiet. Who was the other one?
Comic Strip.
Oh, Comic Strip is going to go way up off that terrible race he had in the Flamingo where he got beat about 10 lengths to Cholito. He really didn't make too much of a move. In fact, his odds had already gone up in the racing form odds.
About
20-1.
What about Prosperous Bid? And is there anything like this Daniel My Brother, any of them that are decent?
Okay, let me answer that question. Daniel My Brother tried the wood. He did not fire at all. He finished way back. He looks like he's eliminated. As far as Prosperous Bid, did not make a run in the wood. He got jostled up a little bit, fell back. He finished 10th, didn't show anything.
How about Max's favorite horse, Middlesex Drive?
Oh, I bet that horse Saturday. I expected a big race out of him. I'm still trying to find him. He was running about 5th, and he dropped out of his finish date.
All right, Joe, great stuff on the horses. And so we had, the wood and the bluegrass and the Arkansas. Is that it for races coming up to this thing?
I believe that's it. There's a race next Saturday called the Lexington. I'll cover it. It may produce one or two starters. We'll see. But I'll have some more information on Monday, mainly odds.
Well, I knew Friday. I told you I'll take Gary Stevens on any horse it's on. He wins again in the bluegrass. And, I mean, which horse is he going to run on the Derby?
He's undecided. He's going to speak to Baffert and Zito on Wednesday. He's got to decide between Indian Charlie and Hallery Hunter. Nobody knows. He's been riding unbelievably well.
Well, I mean, he won the bluegrass with Hallery. Yeah. Why not stay on it?
Yeah, he might stay on it.
All right. Hey, Joe, good stuff.
Take care.
All right, Trent and Joe in Jersey. Good for you tonight, the fans. You got a shot in here. We have, numbers of new lines so that you can have better odds to get in. But we're not going to be on in New York tonight because of the Yankee Stadium beam collapsing. Obviously, they're going to localize it and do a all-night thing on steel beams falling, apparently, with their Yankee fans. And so I'm not going to be on. So you got even better odds now because when New York and New Jersey come on, you're talking about millions of people and they just take over. It's like every call's from Jersey. Because nobody lives in New York. If you live in New York, you got to put up with all of that. Who needs that? I mean, that place. Can you believe that Yankee Stadium started falling down today? Like, just out of nowhere. Unless there's some kid up there pulling bricks. We're going to talk about the Masters in a minute. But let's get my boy Fuzzy in here to check on how everything is.
What's up, wild man?
So, Fuzzy, I had your buddy Jim Leland on tonight.
Yeah, I heard him. He's glad to be home, huh?
I was talking to him about where he lives, and remember, I used to live right next, behind him, and we used to drive down the lane off of Cochrane there. I'm not going to name all the street names, but off of the highway, you'd get off, and then remember where we lived, and we had the private lane up there, Fuzz?
Yeah, didn't you used to egg his house?
Yeah, we used to egg his house. I think I may have... the best thing is that
the guy that lived next door to them, the two sportscasters, yeah. I used to date his, well, I didn't date, I just tried to, well.
Do his daughter.
Yeah, basically. I used to go to school with her every single day and drive her to school, and I'd always be working angles.
Yeah.
I always just wanted to do it to get, you know, them mad. I never really liked her.
Hey, B and One Leg Pete said what's up, and the boys from Ashes to Ashes.
Those guys are badasses, and they, what are they, groove, you know, every week. They're playing this week somewhere. Now, tell me about Yager. What's his problem?
Oh, he's crying like a baby.
I think the guy, listen to what I think.
He got switched to the what, the third line?
I know. Well, he hasn't had a goal in 10 games except one, but I'll tell you why I think he's down there. It's because I believe, and I'm probably wrong, but I think he's got a broken bone in his hand.
Does he?
I think he does. Do you remember a week ago when he got slashed?
Yeah. Who slashed him?
And he's never been the same since. I don't remember who.
One goal in the last 10 games.
Do you remember who slashed Yager last week? I think Yager's got a broken bone in his hand. That's why he's not playing well. He's never.
Well, he's crying.
Since that game, since that slash, he's done nothing. I think he's playing with a broken bone in his hand, and that's why. And I don't think that he's telling anybody. I don't think he's leading them on to it.
Yeah.
You know, he's got it under a glove. He can play like he's fine. But meanwhile, he could be walking around with a broken bone, and what's it going to do, stick out of his hand? No. He could have a fracture inside his wrist. He got cranked on the hand. I think he's injured, and he's lying about it. I mean, this guy never goes 10 games without producing points. He's done nothing. I think he's got a broken bone in his hand from that slam. What about the Pirates? They've done well. I mean, all things considered. They win.
They lost tonight.
Well, whatever. I mean, this team's going to get bombed a lot, but they win a lot. They won 3 of 4 from them.
Yeah, I feel bad for Jim Leland. His team stinks.
Yeah, I said to him, it must suck. And you know, the only thing he has to go by, he's not going to have any fun there. There's no way he's going to have fun losing. And I think that it's going to drive nuts, but he's making good money, so he's just going to ride it out. I think he should leave.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the year, he'll leave. Wouldn't
yeah,
you?
I wouldn't doubt it.
Would you keep working for dudes that keep screwing you?
Well, who does he have? All they have is Bonilla now.
They got Bonilla and Livian Hernandez, who was a hero in the World Series, but he hasn't done anything this year. I mean, here's a guy like Jarrett Wright. The guy goes to the World Series, whatever. He's doing everything, la-di-da, do-si-do, right? And then this year they got him as a hero, and the guy comes out, and he's been just ripped. He got beat the other day 12-1. I mean, Jarrett Wright, he's got an ego as big as Ohio, and he walks around like he's God's gift to me. Dude, you got lucky you were hot at the World Series. There's been a lot of guys that have been stuck into lineups that got hot and stayed in the lineup, or pitchers. I mean, look at Wakefield. Remember when he was with the Pirates? They should have started him in that game instead of Drayback. They should have brought him in. They should have let him go in that crazy game with the Braves that they lost with Cabrera sliding, or Bream sliding in on the Cabrera hit. Here's a guy that no one ever heard of, and all of a sudden he got hot. I would have kept going with a hot hand, just like Livian Hernandez, and just like anybody. Look at the Giants. Last year, they had all these guys hot. Jeff Kent, and I would have kept them all in there. And pitching, you always go with the hot pitcher. But Leland didn't go with the hot pitcher. He went with Drayback, and it cost him. Drayback pitched great, but he left him in too long. Remember, he went into the seventh inning with like a one-hitter, and then they lost. I just can't believe that he would stay. I think it's a bad job now. It's like, it's worse than like the minor leagues. They are awful what they did to that team. It's like basically folding. The franchise should just fold. I don't think it'll last. They don't even have fans. They lost 7,000 season ticket holders. I'll see you, Fuzz.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
Well, it's the day after at Augusta. I wonder if you could get a tee time. Hey, Spence, I guess you had a great time in Augusta. I mean, it was just absolutely fabulous. What do they do with the course after the tournament?
Well, today, actually, you'd be surprised. There are a lot of people on it.
Really?
Yeah, it gets played by the media. The media holds a lottery, and a select number of patrons get to come out and play. And they keep the pins the same, which I think is a lot of fun to play the same course you saw 24 hours earlier. And then Actually, Ferrell Augusta only stays open for a short while longer. Then they close it down in the summer because the bent grass greens cannot withstand the heat of the southeast. So that's when they do all their adjustments to the golf course, and that's when they make all their changes.
Yeah, who would want to play there in August? It's like a buck 10 every day with 110% humidity. It's just...
I think the tournament this year, Scott, it was as good as always. I mean, the drama, you've seen so many variety of ways that this tournament unfolds, and just in the decade of the 90s, sudden death playoffs, you've had Faldo's comeback in 96, Tiger running away last year, and this year was more of, I guess, the traditional way it generally resolves itself, with most of the top players in the game battling at the top, and the way you look at the leaderboard with the top 10 players who finished yesterday, all 10 of them were under par for their final rounds, and Fred Couples shooting a 2-under par 70, to have the lead and shoot that kind of score, 9 times out of 10 you're going to win a major championship, but Marco Mira was just one better, and he's the third player in history to birdie the final two holes and win the Masters, and that's an historical feat.
Do you think that CBS, when they show Fred Couples after the, you know, with the double on 13 and the after the shots, first of all, they were in the woods with him for 40 minutes, and then he hits it into the water, into the creek, and this whatever his name, Peter Alice, whatever it is, he's like talking about the ball flying into the drink when he hit it. And do you think that they take pleasure in showing the guy's face after he hits a shot? I mean, I don't see the point.
Well, I think you're looking for a reaction. With Fred, I mean, Fred has played golf throughout his career in a very casual manner, and he doesn't get all that expressive all that often. But when he does express himself with either joy or, in a couple instances, anguish, it's kind of interesting to see. And I think in sports, I'm not getting in the producer's mind, but I think you're looking for a reaction shot. And majors produce some of the craziest scenarios. I mean, Fred played really 3.5 rounds of just pure magic golf. It was probably, with the exception of the 92 Masters and the Bay Hill Tournament, which he won the same year, it was the third best tournament I've ever seen him play.
Wow.
And he should take a lot away from it. And the way he battled back from the double bogey with the eagle at 15, it was a great moment. David Duval was classy with a 67 yesterday. So was Azinger. And Nicklaus, to me, that might be the everlasting story, that a 58-year-old man made a run at the green jacket. And trust me, as well as he played on the front nine, he could have shot 65 yesterday. The putt simply did not fall. Contrastly, Marco Mira did not hit the ball like he normally does, but his putting was phenomenal. 1-3 putt over 72 holes and making the clutch putts on 17 and 18 to win the green jacket.
I thought for sure that he was going to make the putt because the way he putted, better than anyone for 3 days. And so the final hole, when he walked up there and I saw that ball land 25 straight across, even not a whole lot of undulation and curve and roll off and a break, it was a straight putt going right to left a little bit, and it was a brilliant putt. And I just thought his focus was there before the stroke and during the stroke. There was a million people going nuts and he never blinked. I thought it was fabulous. We'll keep talking golf with Tom Spencer, because I love talking golf with Tom Spencer. Elvis is in here tonight with us. He's wearing like all black. He's got like a he looks like it'd be an Armani look in New York, or in Rodeo he'd be more Renzi, but he looks sharp. You know the best thing about me working for MTV is that I steal all the clothes they give me. Like, in other words, they outfit us and they bring in clothes and they make me wear them, and then I steal them. I always tell them to do the same thing. I'll get them dry clean for you, bro. And he always forgets that I have them. So I've mounted up like 15 new pairs of pants, 10 new shirts. I'm not talking about, like, if you've seen me on that thing, you know how fringy they dress me. Like, I go in there nude, basically, now to do the shoots, because I know that I'm not going to wear what I'm wearing. Like, I know they're going to make me change my clothes. The first thing I do when I get there, they slap me down and strap me into a makeup chair, and then they make me change clothes. And I've gotten comfortable with it because now I change right in front of them. Nude. I'm just nude and I change into clothes. Boston beat Carolina. The Hurricanes couldn't afford that. They're dead. And in Ottawa, 3-2 over Tampa, and Buffalo beat Philly 2-1, and Lindros came back, LeClaire at his 50th, and the Caps beat the Islanders 2-0, and the Islanders were already eliminated over the weekend. Now, let's get back to the Masters. I was talking to Tom Spencer, and let me say this. When the Masters ended, I got to tell you, to go right into an infomercial for the Fairway Wood from Strawberry Farms with Roger Maltby out here in Irvine, California. It's a great golf course, but and a new course. And in fact, this offseason, they're getting sued over land out there. But they went right to a infomercial for a golf club that hits balls like you were hitting off the tee, and it's a Fairway Wood. And they you can use it on the tee or the fairway. And I just thought it was really cheesy to have the Masters so brilliant, 56 minutes an hour. And then we found out who paid for all that with the infomercial at the end. I don't know if you knew about that, Tom, but it was really wet.
Well, you know, I guess, like you say, when you've only been able to run two spots for Cadillac and Travelers for 3 hours, some people are desperate for airtime.
Who buys that up? Does the Augusta Country Club buy? Do they buy the television time?
Yeah, that's a policy, actually, that goes way back, and it's an interesting one. A lot of people criticize CBS saying, why don't you go to 18-hole coverage? Well, there's really one reason. Augusta National doesn't permit it.
Right.
But when you think about it, if you look at 18-hole coverage of the U.S. Open and the PGA Championship, and you average out the amount of golf shots that you see in that time span with 15 minutes of commercials in an hour,
right,
and you compare it to the Masters, you probably see more golf in a three-hour period.
Why do they not show those first five or six holes?
Well, I don't know. It's something that's been asked time and time again. I think they just want to make the 3 hours of coverage mean so much. And I kind of agree. Sometimes when you watch a guy tee off on one, or like the leader's on the driving range and hasn't even teed off yet, as a viewer, it's a little bit harder to get into it. Whereas if you come on the air and Jack Nicklaus is already 3-under for the day, and Couples and O'Meara have just made birdie at 4, I guess maybe they feel like they can get better ratings, is what it translates.
How about Nicklaus? He played better than everyone yesterday.
Well, as I said earlier, 58 years old, phenomenal performance. I think that's what this Masters will be remembered for, as well as O'Meara birdieing the last two holes. He beat Ernie Els, the U.S. Open champion, by 4 shots yesterday, playing head-to-head with him. Only 3 players in the field bettered his 68 in the final round. And like I said in the first segment, Scott, he really felt like he could have won yesterday. And that's
sure.
What separates him from everybody else. Even though he doesn't have the physical abilities that he once had, mentally he can still remember what it's like to win. Even though he hasn't done so in over 11 years, he still has the memories of how to win at Augusta, and he almost pulled it off.
I mean, it was crazy. I mean, when the guy was rolling in birdies and they opened the show with it, it was like the ultimate dragnet. They had him. I mean, the minute I saw this guy rolling and chipping in shots and making putts, it was over. My day was over. The plans had changed, and I was going to sit in front of that TV for the entire round, and I had no interest in watching that entire thing, but that sucked me right in.
Well, you should have been out there, because when he birdied 2 and 3, the place went absolutely crazy, and he had a gallery 5 deep. And trust me, everyone was thinking that it was a flashback to 1986. And to the credit of the guys who played behind him, O'Meara, Couples, Duvall, Furyk, Azinger, I mean, they didn't get rattled. We've seen times in past years where a Nicklaus charge is enough to wilt the spirit of the other leaders. And these guys were playing so well collectively. O'Meara and Freddie, just so solid. Freddie really just one error, maybe on 13, but again, a very commendable performance. David Duvall, from out of nowhere in the last 6 months, has become really one of the dominant forces in the game.
Clutch.
And really hats off to Tiger as well. He did not have his best game yet. He did not shoot over par in one round, and was a good front nine yesterday away from making a run at the title. So, again, a lot of good players played very well yesterday.
Justin Leonard played great, and they never showed him. It was like, okay, he's a sissy, so let's keep him off the camera. It was unbelievable. And neither would David Toms, who played, frankly, 6 straight birdies. They should have given him like $100,000 just for doing that.
That was a phenomenal accomplishment. He tied the all-time record on the backside. David Toms, his wife left on the 11th hole and said, see ya, I'm going home. I got a plane to catch, and he proceeded to birdie every hole except one coming in. Justin Leonard, phenomenal
Lever.
Performance. And, you know, just for him to play well there, I think we'd mentioned last week that it did not favor his game, yet he's got 2 top 10s in a row. He is just so solid. There's no question about it. Darren Clark was the low European this year, and he's a player to watch out for. And Azinger, really the first
Zinger,
time
Zinger,
and I know you love
Zinger,
him.
Zinger, Zinger, Zinger,
awesome.
You're the man, Zinger!
So,
did anybody talk about the Wall Street Journal thing on the rowdy golf fans and how the youth are ruining golf tournaments? Was anybody reacting to the piece they did Friday?
They haven't reacted to that piece specifically, but it's been brought up, and I think in the last year and a half, the fans that have come to the tournaments, the context of who comes out changed a little bit. But I think they're getting, I mean, let's face it, if you've never watched golf tournaments before and you're used to going to baseball, football, and basketball games, it's a different mentality at golf tournaments, as you know. And it takes a little bit of time to adjust to the silence and the quiet and the politeness at golf.
Yeah, but the youth movement in golf, with every other golfer being 25 years old,
right,
and 21 and 20, and then you got Kuchar with a finishes 21st, he gets to go back. They better get used to it, because if all the golfers are young winning and the oldest guy's 40, 41, like O'Meara, I mean, dude, it's gonna get younger and younger.
Well, it is, but let's not forget this. In 1986, Ray Floyd at 43 and Nicklaus at 46 won the first two majors, and it was like the most phenomenal story in the history of golf. O'Meara at 41 yesterday wins a major championship. Nicklaus at 58 still competing. My point is that don't count these guys out just yet, but acknowledge the fact that the guys that are in their early to mid-20s have no fear, and they're not out here with a window of 3 to 4 years to say, let's improve and get better. They're ready to take it right now and win majors, and that's what the rest of their peers have to acknowledge and accept it and take their games to a new level. So that's what's good about golf right now.
Do you think Kuchar will win the NCAA title this weekend?
Here's a guy that goes from the green jacket ceremony to an 8 o'clock Spanish class. You talk about the biggest letdown in history, and he's got the...
I'd cheat.
I mean, he'll be a popular figure, won't he?
I'd send Max and, like, put him, like, a mustache on him or something just to make him look different. But I'll tell you what, Spence, great coverage Thursday, Friday, and tonight. And I'd love to hear from you Thursday as we get ready for Harbortown, because I love golf, and I really love to cheat in golf.
You are good at that.
All right, Spence, Max wants to talk to you because apparently he has some of Fred Couples' underwear he wants to send him. I don't know what that's all about, but... we'll set it up. Fred's friends with Max, and I'm not even kidding, which is embarrassing to say the least. I thought I had all the friends. Max is friends with Fred because Fred does, like, this chick that Max does a chick that the two chicks are friends, and then I'm thinking foursome.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.